Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, December 7, 2016. I am Jason Powell. On the site today, Jake Barnett's full review of last night's WWE SmackDown show. My WWE hit list will be coming up, and John Moore's detailed Talking Smack recap should also be available. Coming up after the break for non-members, my full review of WWE SmackDown. WWE SmackDown Live was supposed to feature AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship in the main event against James Ellsworth. However, AJ Styles was in a walking boot. He did appear on the show. He was able to get to the ring, but the ankle injury prevented him from working. He announced that he was not medically cleared to compete, so therefore the match was off. They also made it seem like when Dean Ambrose ended up giving James Ellsworth dirty deeds, that officially led to the match being called off. So I'm not sure what where they were going with that, but I would assume it's just because AJ Styles was unable to work, and therefore they came up with the alternate plan. I would assume that the show probably had to have some rewrites then, and I don't know if they were going to give us what turned out to be the main event of Dean Ambrose challenging The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, or if that was something they added to the show. But it turned out to be a solid edition of SmackDown. With that said, let's kind of work our way through this. They were in Houston, Texas at Toyota Center. As usual, I will test my memory and try to figure out the broadcast team. Mauro Ranallo, JBL, David Otunga, Tom Phillips. That's right. It's a four-man booth. I still think it's insane, but that was your broadcast team. We had a video package that focused on Ellsworth turning on Dean Ambrose at the pay-per-view, and then AJ Styles did come out wearing the walking boot, and Jake Barnett, who's a live coverage report I'm kind of using as an overview, he noted that his foot and ankle were in an air cast. And so, yeah, I mean, we're not at the point where they felt the need to take the title away from AJ, so hopefully this is just a minor ankle injury that's going to require some rest. He did not work Monday's house show either, and so we'll see how long this is going to sideline him. But they didn't seem to be in panic mode as far as having to announce that he needs surgery or anything like that, but we'll see how it goes. But AJ Styles, he said he wanted to address the elephant in the room. He was not referring to his walking boot, rather the hole in his pants at TLC, and he did mock the crowd for thinking he was talking about his cast. He said if it wasn't for the boot on his leg, then TLC was everything he wanted. He said the only downside is that he's not medically cleared to face James Ellsworth. That led to Ellsworth coming out. He was confident, which was weird, and he said that he basically accused AJ Styles of ducking him, and he said that he had his number and would beat him for a fourth time. Styles said Ellsworth was delusional, and the difference between him and Ambrose is that he knows when to quit. He said Ambrose is going to cave in the rest of his face, just like his chin, and that led to Dean Ambrose's music hitting, and he came to the ring, and all he did was walk in the ring. It was very serious. Ellsworth was kind of in, kind of beg off mode a little bit, and he ended up kicking Ellsworth, gave him dirty deeds, and left. That was it. James Ellsworth just took dirty deeds. Did he kick him? I know he hit him with dirty deeds, but that was about it. And so, and then Dean Ambrose just headed to the back. So they make sure to tell you right up front you're not getting the championship match. You know, the only thing that makes me a little bit worried about AJ's ankle injury is they didn't feel confident enough to tell you that, yeah, but this match will take place next week. There was no announcement like that. So, hopefully it's just going to take a little bit of rest and it's nothing major. But Ambrose was fine here. Ellsworth, kind of weird just seeing him confident, I guess we'll be talking more about his actions as we get through the show. Alexa Bliss was announced as having a championship celebration, and they ended up hyping the tag team championship rematch from TLC, and then we saw the Wyatt family, and Bray simply said, "We're here," and they went to a commercial break, and when they came back, it was time for that tag title match. It was Randy Orton and Heath Slater defeating, not Randy Orton and Heath Slater, Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt with Luke Harper defeating the team of Heath Slater and Rhino to retain the tag team championship in about 9:28 is what Jake had listed. This came up on, I guess I missed it live, but at one point, I guess Rhino performed his finisher or something, and Slater ended up trying to take the pin, and Rhino took issue with that on the Talking Smack show, and Slater was kind of like, hey, I thought we were a team. Rhino ended up walking out on Slater on Talking Smack. So looks like the end of this, and having said all that, it shouldn't surprise you that, again, they lost this match, and they had Slater being put in position for Sister Abigail by Bray Wyatt, who instead made a tag to Orton and then kind of shoved Slater into the RKO for the win. Like, it wasn't really a cool double finisher. Like, I guess the idea was he kind of started Sister Abigail, but there really wasn't anything to it. And then Orton, I mean, it's the RKO, so the crowd liked that. But Orton and Wyatt retain. They look strong. And Slater and Rhino apparently are breaking up. Can't wait for that singles feud, that hot singles feud. Then the champions celebrated after the match. We saw Kalisto backstage being interviewed. Thanks, Jake. He had Dasha Puentes. I wasn't sure. I'm never quite sure. And she asked him why he asked for his rematch with Baron Corbin. Yeah, really, why? Kalisto said he felt like he'd been in a car wreck, but he has one advantage over Corbin, and that's speed, and speed kills, and then he walked away. No, speed hasn't killed yet. You've been killed in every match you've had with Baron Corbin, dude. Let it go. I'm just ready for this feud to end, if you can't tell. Corbin, it really does feel like he spent his entire WWE career working with Dolph Ziggler or Kalisto, and I think it's because he pretty much has. I mean, there's a few matches here and there. He's worked Kane and some others, but those are his feuds, and they both went on. They both gone on way longer than they needed to. And I kind of worry with Dolph out there now. He didn't appear on this show, but he doesn't have an opponent, and there's no one obvious for Dolph to face. Is that the plan? You know, does Corbin finally get finished with Kalisto just to move back into a program with Dolph Ziggler? I don't know where he's going. Then we ended up with Carmella making her entrance and taking a mic, and she just had this long monologue of a promo. And the crowd was giving her the what treatment. She talked about Natalya bragging to her about pulling a Tonya Harding on Nikki. I remember Tonya Harding. Is it one of those things where, even though it happened so long ago, it's just so many people know about it, you can go ahead and reference it. It's dated, but people still know what you're talking about. I'm not even sure on that one. But she just continued to accuse Natalya of being the person who took out Nikki Bella at Survivor Series. I don't know why she cared, but she did. They ended up having Natalya come out. They brawled for a little bit. Carmella ran to the back, and Natty followed. And then Carmella all of a sudden disappeared. She ran off, and then Natalya came face-to-face with Nikki Bella, who just stood there like the big sister looking down at the little sister for something. It was weird. And Natty suddenly was very apologetic and saying that she's a liar. You have to believe me. Don't believe any of this. Nikki didn't say a word. She just turned and stormed off. I don't know what we're supposed to make of this. It's weird. Because, I mean, Carmella made the point on Talking Smack. She's in character, of course, and she says, why would I lie? You know, and she's been attacking Nikki left and right. And so that's a fair point. I just don't know if she is in on the storyline and knows where this is going. I don't think they're going to turn around and say Carmella did it, because what point would there be? And then Natalya, I don't know why she would be denying it. So I'm hoping it's someone else. I don't know where this leads Natalya. I mean, Carmella is clearly a heel, and Natalya has been heelish lately. And she's been very corny. At least she didn't recite any lyrics tonight, so that's good. I don't think, unless I missed something with her brief speech to Nikki. But is she going back babyface now? Does Nikki forgive her? And they are upset with whoever the mystery person is? And they team together to face this mystery person and Carmella? I have no idea. And the sad thing is, I don't really care. But yeah, Carmella, the promo went on way too long. They really gave her too much material here to work with. It just pulled back a little bit. Her delivery wasn't great, but she's shown that she can be a decent promo. I just think she was given too much. I don't know why. I mean, it was just a long promo, and she's out there reciting these lines. Then it was time for Dasha Puentes to interview Baron Corbin. Wow, Jake is on the ball. He's able to tell them apart now. I can't. She asked him about Kalisto's speed, and he said Kalisto is just like everyone else that gets in the ring with him. He's the big man. They're the little man. And he said that they're like a mosquito that flies around until they land on him, and then splat. Well, and then we went to the Ascension in the ring as the Hype Bros made their entrances, and they both got the Pop Box promos, the pre-tape promos. Yeah, I mean, the Ascension was just kind of more of the same. Actually, both teams were. You know, the Hype Bros are hype, and the Ascension just cut some dark and mysterious type promo that nobody cares about. And this was the Hype Bros beating the Ascension in 252. Mojo and Ryder hitting the Hype Rider on Victor to get the win. This is what happens when you don't have two B shows. You know, with 205 Live replacing WWE Superstars and then Main Event now being taped on Mondays prior to Raw, SmackDown is left without a B show. And so you're going to have to get some of these teams some work, I would assume, on SmackDown that maybe they don't even really want to have on there, but they're going to feel some pressure to kind of get these teams or just different. I guess it's mostly tag teams. There's not that many singles guys that don't get time on the show, but mostly the tag teams. And I think they're going to have to kind of work them in just so they have something to do and they're on television once in a while. That's what I chalk this up to. But yeah, this just felt like WWE Main Event was back on Tuesday nights or something. Then they teased Miz TV for coming up after a commercial break, and we went to it was time for Miz TV, and this was really good. This was maybe the highlight of the show, or certainly you know, high on the list of segments. Of course, he boasted about putting Dolph Ziggler in the rearview mirror and continuing his Intercontinental Championship reunion tour, and he ended up introducing Dean Ambrose as somebody who gave it everything he had but came up short on Sunday. And then once Ambrose was in the ring, long story short on this, he ended up well. He accused Ambrose of being the one who was to blame for what happened with James Ellsworth, and Miz said that Ambrose didn't think he deserved it, and then after weeks of Ellsworth and manipulating for his own agenda and using him like a puppet, he finally cut the strings and fought back. And Miz and Ambrose said then was asked. He said he hates it when people intentionally piss him off, and so he gets up and he's ready to go at Miz, who then hid behind Maryse, and then Miz announced that he had a special prize for Ambrose. He ended up presenting him with a participation ribbon. It's a special Miz Participation Award, not even a ribbon, and it's like a framed certificate with a picture of Miz and Maryse on it. I got a huge kick out of this, and even funnier was the live crowd suddenly chanting, "You deserve it." Oh, best use of the "You deserve it" chant ever. Daniel Bryan's music hits, and he said that he couldn't let Ambrose assault Miz, but he could do one better. He set up a match. The main event for the Intercontinental Championship. It was Ambrose and Miz, of course. I was kind of worried because the way he did it, he just, you know, he was building to it. But I was kind of worried he wasn't going to get to the part where it was for the title. I was worried that it was going to be the Miz against Dean Ambrose and just leave it at that because WWE's been known to do that. And, you know, it would have looked really bad for Daniel Bryan to be the one doing that given his ongoing issues with Miz. So it was good that they, you know, that it was an Intercontinental Championship match and they didn't just make it non-title because it wouldn't have made any sense for Daniel Bryan to give Miz any type of a favor there by giving him a non-title match. And so, but Daniel Bryan's build-up and the whole segment was really good. Got a kick out of the crowd, got a kick out of, you know, Miz's promo was good, Ambrose's brief response was good, and then, yeah, just the way Daniel Bryan built that up, the crowd was really hot for it. Then it was time for Kalisto to lose to Baron Corbin because that's what he does. Corbin beat him in 4:11 with End of Days. I don't know how many times we need to see Baron Corbin beat Kalisto. We get it. Can we move on, please? Like I'm gonna do. Backstage, Nikki Bella was approached by Sophia Grace. Jake says she's apparently a YouTube star. Here, I thought she was just one of the brunette backstage interviewers. I wasn't sure. She looked a little smaller. All right, she's some like child YouTube star. Seriously, if she was like another foot taller, I don't know that I would have known her. I don't know that I would have known the difference between her and the other women that they don't have introduced themselves backstage. You know, it doesn't have to be them always saying their name. They can say it sometimes. There could be a graphic that says the backstage interviewer's name, or the wrestler can refer to them by their first name. There's ways of doing this, and for some reason, it just seems like WWE doesn't want us to know the names of these women backstage. It's strange. But this was I don't know, they're promoting some special, whatever. American Alpha then made their entrance, and I'm like, all right, cool, we're going to see them on the show. Well, they set up a clip. There was some footage of the fashion police, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, giving them a ticket for having ugly shirts and faces. And then Chad Gable ended up telling them they could shove it, and referring to the tickets and their Chippendale outfits. This led to a singles match. Why not a tag team match? I don't know. But it led to a singles match where Chad Gable ended up beating Tyler Breeze in 3:33. Jason Jordan had to hit an overhead belly-to-belly suplex on Fandango, who got involved, and then Gable hit a running German suplex on Tyler Breeze and pinned him. And hey, this was a nice showcase for Chad Gable. It's better than they've been getting, and so I'm hoping that now that the Heath Slater and Rhino tag team appears to be breaking up, that would leave American Alpha, and hopefully they can get into chase mode. I always wanted it to be against the Usos, who have just suddenly disappeared from SmackDown. They weren't on this show. They weren't on the pay-per-view. And so it's really weird that the Usos reinvent themselves, and it looks like people were responding to their act, and they're just nowhere to be found. It's weird. Very disappointing there. I don't know if there's an injury or if they just don't know what to do with them. But I really continue to wish they would do something with Breezango, other than call them Breezango, or have them dress like the fashion police gimmick, have them play dress up in that. That's a good, they just have the potential to be a good old school heel tag team, not revival, but a little more flashy. I mean, they're never going to be the Midnight Express, but just something, along those lines. I could see them if they were presented a little bit differently, maybe even if they did have a mouthpiece, but you don't have to do it. You don't have to replicate the entire formula. But I do think there's some talent there, especially with Tyler Breeze, and they could get something out of them. This whole fashion police bit, it's not making anyone laugh. It's corny WWE humor, and it prevents anyone from taking them seriously. So it's just too bad that's happening, but at least it looks like the good things are finally about to happen for American Alpha. Then we had Alexa Bliss's championship celebration after a commercial break. She got a big pyro display for the championship. She took the mic and said, "Ding dong, the witch is champ," playing on something she said recently about her being the Wicked Witch of WWE. She said at TLC, she proved happy endings don't exist. The crowd chanted for Becky Lynch, and Alexis said she recalled Becky calling her a word that rhymed with witch. And then she said, "This bitch is now running the SmackDown Live Women's Division." Good stuff. Well, Becky Lynch didn't put up with, she didn't give Alexa a chance to celebrate her championship reign, and said she came out, long story short, she wanted her championship rematch. She wanted to exercise her rematch clause, and of course, even though she wasn't dressed for the match, Alexa teased it by she was wearing I can't remember, something that she could take off. I don't even remember what it was, but she took off, she didn't expose herself, but she took off a top of some kind and was ready to fight until she left the ring. So no surprise there, and so she ends up leaving. I was ready for them to turn the page on a number of different programs. This one, I think, does have some life left to it. It's been going on for a while, but now that you put the championship on Alexa Bliss, it doesn't feel like Slater and Rhino, where, they're just, the thrill is gone. It's certainly not that way with Becky Lynch, and so I think they can get something out of Becky chasing Alexa. I just wonder if this is just kind of a brief title reign for Alexa Bliss and Becky's going to end up regaining her championship soon. Wouldn't surprise me, but I'm not quite sure how this is going to work just yet. But it didn't feel like, I just didn't have that feeling come over me that, great, they're moving on with, they're not moving away from this yet. They're just going to keep going on with this. Didn't feel that way at all. Then we had footage of the opening segment. And then it was time for Dean Ambrose to make his entrance for the main event. They went to a commercial. Miz and Maurice, of course, out next. And the main event was The Miz defeating Dean Ambrose in 13:44. This was a good match. The finish of this, you had James Ellsworth come out. He was, I guess the idea was that he was trying to point out that Maurice had interfered. Ambrose went to the ropes, and Maurice ended up crotching him on the ropes, and then Miz ended up getting a near fall, and that's when Ellsworth comes out, and he starts telling the referee that Maurice had interfered, and then Miz went for the figure four, but Ambrose rolled him up, had him pinned, but the referee was distracted by Ellsworth, and so then Miz ended up kicking out just before the referee's three count. Once the referee finally did turn around, Ambrose gets hot with Ellsworth and confronts him, and Ellsworth was kind of begging off, and then Miz ended up hitting the skull crushing finale on a distracted Dean Ambrose for the win. So Miz wins in 13:44. Ellsworth ends up leaving. He looked like he was back in I can't believe I blew it, I'm sorry mode. And I don't know if that's him being insincere now, but it was weird the way it didn't seem like there was some master plan in place for him to come out and distract. You know, where he came out, it really didn't make a lot of sense. Now, he ended up costing Ambrose the match, but I'm not sure if they could they be adding him temporarily to Miz's act? Could, you know, I just kind of assumed he was going to end up with AJ. I don't think Miz needs it. I think Ellsworth and AJ, I think, is a funner fit. But it just, I was kind of confused by where they were going with Ellsworth by the end of the night. I don't think it's he's trying to win Dean over again and he's apologetic. I think he's probably going to play it that way. And Dean Ambrose, I don't think they're going to have the Dean Ambrose character be that gullible. So somehow, some way, they need to get Ellsworth aligned with someone. I just don't think you can have James Ellsworth flying solo for very long. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. But yeah, good main event. I think I thought about this, and I wrote about it in the hit list for today. You think back to if they had this match on Raw, or just, you know, prior to the brand split, and I don't know about you, but my reaction would be, okay, whatever, you know, Miz is going to cheat to win, or Ambrose is going to pin him. There's not, you know, there's not going to be any back and forth. I just didn't take Miz seriously because of the way his character was positioned. He was hokey. You know, he had that A-lister thing going on. He had the don't touch the face thing going on for a while. It was really tough to take him seriously, and you just assumed if he wins against someone high enough on the card like Ambrose, it's going to be in the flukiest, or, you know, just there's going to be a lot of cheating involved, whatever the case is. And yeah, there was cheating involved here. But before that, it was good back and forth action. And I didn't just get bored watching Miz thinking none of this matters. Let's just get to the finish. Miz has taken a step forward since he's come to SmackDown Live. He's in the credibility department. And now that he's had this program with Dolph Ziggler, yeah, he still cheats and all of that, but there's more of an edge to the character, not just on the mic, but also in the ring. He's developing that in-ring credibility with the audience where they may not see him as being, you know, and I'm not talking like just in terms of his work, but his style. I just think they accept that, yeah, this guy in there with Dean Ambrose, Ambrose is probably going to beat him if everything's fair, but he feels like more of a threat than he used to. So he's taken a step forward in that way, and I think it's been fun to see that process that Miz just kind of taking, you know, moving up the ladder a little bit. Another because he's been in that same role for so long, and he finally has taken a step or even two up that ladder to feeling like he is a little bit more believable in, especially on the SmackDown side, more of a main event position. He's not just that wacky, you know, just a pest heel, as I always called him, that because he really was kind of the king of the pest heel, and he played that role well, but he played it for too long, and he needed to do something, and we finally got it. Jake called this an average match, and I'm not saying like this was anything memorable, I just kind of appreciated the way it felt believable when Miz was going, and when he was getting in his offense on Ambrose. It just commanded my attention much more than the old Miz did. Jake also wrote that Ellsworth came across like a hapless idiot, but he says he doesn't think that will last long. He'll reveal his master plan with AJ Styles soon enough, and then the program might get interesting again. And yeah, I would agree with that. I do think that's where they're going, and I think the Ellsworth we saw at the beginning of the show is the real Ellsworth, and what we saw here wasn't him being hapless and truly wanting. It could have been positioned a little bit better, could have been laid out better so it made a little more sense, but I think this was just kind of a ruse. This is him trying to make it seem like he is trying to win Dean Ambrose over, when in fact he is out to get him now. So I think that's where they're going. But that'll put a wrap on this edition of WWE SmackDown. A solid show. Could have done without the tribute to the long lost WWE Superstars show with the Hype Bros and the Ascension, but you know, one match isn't going to just kill the show. So yeah, good solid show, and they didn't turn the page on a number of programs that I was hoping they would, but I do think we've seen, you know, I think we're about to see Orton and Rhino move on to other things, probably American Alpha, and we'll see what they do with Ambrose, Styles, and Ellsworth. And of course, the big thing is we wait to see when AJ is going to be able to get back in the ring. Hopefully that will be soon, and there won't be any real issue to worry about there. But with no Dolph, where does Miz go from here too? I mean, he was tied up with Ambrose this week. Does Dolph come back next week and they find a way to continue that program? They said it was the end of the line, but they also told us that about Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and they're scheduled for another pay-per-view match. So we'll see. But thank you, everybody, for listening. My 205 Live audio review, it will be available for .NET members. And in fact, members are listening to my Raw audio review, the Q&A audio show, the TLC and ROH Final Battle audio reviews. They're going to be hearing the .NET Weekly audio show scheduled for Wednesday afternoon. So a full slate of audio, and we're at the midpoint of the week. There's a ton of audio available. If audio is your thing and you enjoy full-length audio like this, know that, yeah, we put out the full-length audio reviews sometimes here on the All Access side of things. They are available for every show, every week for the .NET members. If you're interested, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. As always, look for that sign-up area. Three different pricing options once you're in there. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. Take the six-month or annual option, and you will save yourself some money. That annual option knocks $2 off the price per month, bringing it down to an average of $5.50. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. That's .netjason@gmail.com. And as always, if you could, retweet when I send out a link to this on Twitter. And if you have a moment, please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows those type of reviews. You are helping spread the word about the site, and that is greatly appreciated. Until next time, everybody, take care.